see this because Mohashem Simchas, and there's so much more, you know, the Yidach Kaddish, we just scratched on the surface. But when we continue Be'ez Hashem after the summer with his illustrious disciple, the Rebbe Avuna from Peshitta, so we'll be flowing one tzaddik into the other, from the Rebbe to the student, and it's a continuation really of the Torah, of that Torah which maybe will follow through all the way till Ger, till the Shem Sfasemes, to have a taste of Polish Chassidus. So let's just learn. There was one more Torah from the pages of last week. On the last page of that handout from last week, Reish Chav Zayin, where it's Ois Kuf Pei Tes, where it says Ayudi Hakadosh Yoshev Pam. The last page. And then we're going to do a couple I wanted to do before the summer, before the 3 weeks, a few pieces on Mashiach and on Geula and redemption. Here, Mati. The last page of this one. This is a marshal from the Yid HaKadosh. It's a marshal from the Holy Jew. Really, it's such an oimik, this tremendous depth to this marshal, to this story. And we'll just run the simple pshat. HaYehudi HaKadosh Yoshev Pam Al Shulchano. This is one time the Holy Jew from Peshitta, the Yid HaKadosh, was sitting by his table. V'omer Dvar Torah Al Divrei HaGemara, and he was explaining the Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Yud Beis. The Gemara there says, the Gemara says a very interesting thing. The Gemara says that before a person eats and drinks, he has two hearts. Obviously, it doesn't have anything to do with medicine, as Eric will attest to, right? Even a Jew doesn't have. He has a heart that's very lebedik, has an enheartened heart, but two we don't have. So the Gemara says that before a person eats and drinks, he has two hearts. After he eats and drinks, ein lo ela lev echad. La'acher, she'ochal v'shasa, ein lo ela lev echad. It's a fascinating Gemara. Before you eat and drink, you have two hearts. And after you eat and drink, you have one heart. What does that mean? The Chsha'odam, he explained the meaning of the Gemara. The Chsha'odam ra'ev, when a person is hungry, harayu margish gamas lev chaveiro, letzarlo. When a person is hungry, the Rebbe explained the Yid HaKadosh, when a person is hungry and he's thirsty, then he's able to feel the hunger and the thirst of another Jew. He's able to be sensitive to the hunger and thirst of another Jew. Therefore, he has what? Therefore, before he eats and drinks, he has two hearts. That means he has his heart, and he has the other Jew's heart. He feels the pain of the other Jew. Once he's already eaten, he's had something to drink, then he has one heart. He no longer is so sensitive to what's missing from that other person's life. There's a famous, I'm sure you heard this, there's a famous maase from Rab Chaim El Yemayezel's, the Rav of Lodz. The Lodz Rav is a Gaon Olam, a Gaon HaGaonim. So one time there was a certain, in Lodz, there was a certain Jew who was famous as a miser. It's a very, very well-known story. It was very hard for him to part with his money, this Jew. And the lodger of the Rav went on the coldest day of the winter. The coldest day of the winter. And he went around to he was collecting money. And he came to the home of this miser, of this stingy person. And he knocked on the door. He rang at the doorbell. And the person is snowing, a blizzard. And the person is very shocked to see the Rav there. And he asks the Rav, he invites the Rav to come in. And the Rav says, no, Mike, I just need to talk to you for a second. So he goes outside, and this is a fellow you understand, he's not used to being uncomfortable. And the Rav starts to talk to him about different things, like in town, that there have been some problems lately with the widows and orphans and sorrows. And this man is like shaking, he can't take it. And he's listening to this, and he says, Rebbe, it's very nice inside, I have a fire. So it's another 2 seconds, it goes on like this, 15 minutes, the guy thinks he's going to die. And he doesn't even know what the Rebbe's getting. He's just stomp schmoozing about things in town. So finally the Rav says, so let's go in for a minute to talk. So they go in there and they're covered with snow. And the man says to him, he says, Rebbe, I don't understand. Couldn't we have discussed this around my table? Why do we have to stand outside in the freezing cold in the snow? So the Rav said, I'll tell you the truth. I wasn't comfortable with myself, but you know, It's very hard for you. Everybody here in town knows that you haven't given much tzedakah. And I had to come talk to you. I want to talk to you about people who are in need. It's the middle of the winter. That means that there are orphans, there are widows, there are people, there are poor people who can't afford to have a nice living room and a nice fire. Right? So for me to discuss this with you in the comfort of your home, I understand that I have very little impact, very little effect. So I wanted you to know what it's like. I want you to feel for 15 minutes, to feel what most of the people in town live with all winter long. And now I want you to give money. So it's the same idea, that when a person is not going through his own suffering, so when a person has one heart, his own heart. But when he feels the pain of the other person, then he has two hearts. You might remember the famous novel that chosen by Chaim Potok. You might recall. After that, it was downhill with his. But that was pretty good. So I might get in trouble for this. You recall that there was a story there about Reb Saunders, right, the Rebbe. And he raised his son, Danny, in silence, right? He raised him in silence. And the son didn't understand. He spoke to the other children, but he didn't speak to him. And finally, at the end, if you remember the whole story, he apologized and he explained. He had explained to the other, to his friend Reuven, he explained to Danny that he was trying to raise a Rebbe. He was trying to raise a tzaddik. And to raise a tzaddik, the father, he said, he might have made a mistake, but he felt that the only way to raise a tzaddik is that his son should feel the loneliness of other Jews. And so the father didn't speak to the son, except in learning. But he didn't speak to him. He needs to know what it means. To be a tzaddik means you have to hear everybody else's voice. You have to be sensitive to the suffering of the world. So when a person is well and everything is going okay, so he has his heart and he's okay. But before he eats and drinks, then he still feels other hearts. So the Rebbe gives a moshel. And the Yid HaKadosh said a very remarkable moshel. It sounds very simple, but it's the kind of thing that if you think about it and you go home with it and you work it through, you'll see that he's saying a couple hundred things in this moshel. But it just sounds like a simple little story, but listen carefully. You know that the Yid was very sharp and he didn't stand like Tal Maisalach and Mishalim. So the few that we have, there's a reason. There was a certain great warrior, a general, a prince. He was interested in conquering a certain city. But that city that he wanted to conquer was very heavily fortified. Very heavily fortified, surrounded by a great wall, and so on. He wasn't able to use conventional means to conquer this fortified city. So what did he do? So Hitul Hasar Matsara Kola Drochim Avilum Leir. So this prince, he arranged his troops to surround and to cut off all the roads leading to that city. In order to starve them, they wouldn't be able to have any deliveries of food to go anywhere to come. Apparently, they were very very well stocked and it wasn't working. So he devised a plan. He came up with an idea. Lova to disguise himself. Lova belat el ha'ir pnima. And to go disguised into the town, right? To go into the town, Lirais Ketzad Yucha Lakavsham, to see how is it possible to conquer this. This is good for Pasha Shlach, right? For the spies, for the Maraglim. So to go and to see what's the best way, how is it possible to conquer this place. Hichlif Malbusha, he changed his clothing, Bilavushay Kefariyim, to some peasant's clothing, Ubaba Machteris, and surreptitiously, in a very secretive way, he came, Al Teichayir, he got into the city. Bisham Torah Achar Mekaymis Achaloshim, he began to go see what would be the weakest points and where to attack from and how to go about doing this. Yuchal Mekaymis Achaloshim Darkam, Yuchal Lich Beishayir. Fine. So after he conducted his survey and he saw all that he needed to see, Ukvar Omad Lachzer Ali Kvaisav, and it was now time to return to go back to his palace. Hikabai Echav Vimnei Ha'ir. He got into trouble because somebody from the city was looking at him funny. Apparently there was somebody there that recognized him as the prince, as the enemy. So what did this fellow do? The Rotzel HaMishmar, and he ran to the police. The Sapril Ham Kiasar Hatzar Aleir Nimsaba, the Ragalai saw that the enemy prince, the general, is spying in the city. He's here, I saw him. Well, Miyad Yotza Pekuda Lizgar Shariir, of course, the order by that immediately, that the gate of the city would be shut. Vihine Vaisa Shah, at that very same time when that fellow was looking at him, some had sar alibo, he noticed the prince, the general noticed, ki echad mabit bo aruchos, that somebody was looking at him for too long. He realized that somebody recognized him. Vuulai chayshid bo makir oso, and it could be that he suspects the truth. Lachain, therefore, miher bezrizus, therefore he quickly ran. Lot says that he tried to make an escape. He ran immediately for the gate. Akivoya el shar ha'ir, but as he approached the gate, ra'ohu sogur, he saw that it was locked. Ve'hivin, and he understood. Ki b'shalo hasar hazeh, that the tumult, the commotion of locking the gate in the middle of the day, that is because of him. He's been discovered. Ve'tekef nos levakesh mistur, and immediately he ran to look for some place to hide. Bedarko ra'o merachok Yehudi nigash elav. He saw there was a Jew walking over there. And of course, there's the mazel of a Yid. Vegila lo mihu. And this prince felt that he could trust a Jew, and he said who he was. Ubikesh limsai mista bebesa. And he's asking, would it be possible? Maybe you could hide me for a few days. And when the time will come, I'll happily reward you for your efforts. And the Jew agreed, and he hit him. So the army, the police, they were making a house-to-house search. They knew which neighborhood apparently he was in. They came to the house of that Jew. They asked him, has any stranger come over here? Hayehudi hechish betoikef, he strongly denied this. V'dibur hiskif ha'atokef osar roishim belibam, and his strong words made an impression. The last page. His strong words made an impression. V'alkein hestapku bebdike ktsara, therefore they only made a very superficial, very brief search of the house. The Yotzu v'holchu, and the soldiers left. Oz Yotzu ha'sami machbo. So then the prince came out from the place that he was hiding, Acharei Hamita, whatever, he was behind the bed hiding. V'yoshu v'beis ha'yehudi kamiyom. And he stayed in the house of the Jew for a number of days. Ad asher yishkitu achipusim, until the searching was quieted. V'yiposach hashar, and the gate was reopened. V'ach asher nitach hashar, omar hasar, v'choshav ketzad lehimolet el mekomo. When the gate was opened, the prince was thinking what would be the safest way to return, to leave, to escape. Ubikesh Mayhudi as begodav, so he asked the Jew for his clothing. Right? He asked the Jew for his clothing, Vitsov as Maraponov, and he colored his face, he maybe made himself look like he was Jewish somehow. Vyotza der Hashar, and he escaped through the gate. Every single part here is all apikabola, every single word. But he's not going to explain it, but there's every single thing here. So he was disguised as a Jew, and he escaped. Oysa Yehudin Yisyar el Navsha. Now the Jew that was hiding him was terrified. Shema Yevoda, because he was worried that it would become somehow known. Ki Yodo B'mal, that he was involved in this treason, in this treasonous act. Umiyad Sara Metaltalov, and he gathered all of his belongings. Fa'okar Me'oysa Ha'ir, and he himself quickly left, he ran away from the city. V'yotzes Medina. Now he had a good place to go, because the Jew was also smart, and it's time to collect, right? So v'yotzes Medina l'moka Moishav Hasar. So he left that city, and he went to the Medina, to the place of the prince who he had taken care of, who he helped. כשהגיע לשר, אומלוי, כי כל אשר יבקש ינוסין לו, מאומה לא יחסר. The prince was delighted to see him and was true to his word, and the prince told him, anything you ask for, anything that you want, I will give you. Ha-Yehudi bikesh chamisha dvarim. So again, he doesn't say why or what. He says the Jew asked for five things. You could make whatever you think that means. He said the Jew asked for five things. Fikiblum la'alter, and he was immediately given these five things. Now the Jew made a mistake. Listen. So things are going great. He can start a new life. He's probably got what he needs. Kshepona l'alechas, when he came time, when he was leaving, niska davechad, he already was leaving, but he came back. He remembered something that he wanted to ask the prince. V'chozer l'asar, v'shal also, and he asked the prince. Ma ha'isa ha'gishoso kishechipsu achva v'beiso. Big mistake. He asked him, tell me, your majesty, what did it feel like when they were looking for you, when they came into the house, when the police were in my house, and you were hiding behind the bed? He was interested to know, does a prince become frightened? You know, he wanted to hear. So, how did you feel when the police were searching in the house? Now, that got the prince very upset, the chutzpah, right? So, v'asar miyad kishashomas ha'shayla, as soon as the prince heard this question, omad mikiso b'chamas zam, he rose up in anger, and in a rage, v'kar v'kas Yehudi, you Jew, Hey, asked upon him and asked upon him a chutzpah, lishol kazos, to ask a prince whether he was afraid, how did he feel, a chutzpah. Hincha mari b'malchus, you have rebelled against the kingdom, against the king, ugzar din chalomus, and the decree is you must die. No. Ha'yehudi nofel lefnei asar al raglov, he threw himself on the feet of the asar, of the prince, v'schamel al-nafshu, he begged for his life. Yesterday, I saved your life. The kachmuli, this is how you reward me. All right, I made a mistake, but this is my reward. But the words fell on deaf ears. Immediately, some soldiers came. They put him into chains. And he was taken immediately away to be locked up. Bevo Yom Hadin, when it came to the day of the execution, it's a maaser from today, right? Bevo Yom Hadin, Haitziu Es HaYehudi, they took this Jew out, Leilicha L'Tliya, they were taking him out to hang him. HaYehudi Zog V'Yolo L'Nafsho, he's screaming and crying for his life. Vein ish samalev, no one's paying attention. Vinik shehigia la omer atliya. He came over there to the post, you know, the gallows. They're about to hang him. Not la talya de zachevel, and the executioner took the rope and put it around his neck. Vekarcho sovi vresha around his neck. Ubaisa shah, here are Yehudi bedaito kol maisev. So now at that moment, the rope is sitting around his neck, and this Jew begins to think about his whole life. Me'aido, all that he did in his life. V'takfu erhurei charota azim, and his heart was filled with regret over his aveiros, things that he did wrong. Now he already quieted down. And he was thinking, Oz nishma kol hasar merachok. Suddenly the voice of the prince was heard from a distance. Hanichai, leave him alone, don't do it, don't do it. Hanichulo. Wait, I first want to discuss something with him. They took the rope off his head, the noose off his head. And the prince went to the Jew. Now I can answer your question. The way that you just felt a second ago, when the noose was around your neck. That's how I felt when the police were in the room, in your house, searching for me. Therefore, I want to do the biggest tov in the world. I want to do you a big favor. I wanted you to really understand what does it mean to be afraid. I wanted you to really understand the mystery of the answer to this question. Therefore, I commanded that they should hang you. If you hadn't asked me this question, and if you hadn't been brought to the gallows, you wouldn't have known the truth. You wouldn't have really understood any answer that I would have given you. So the Yid ended, and he said, this is the pshat in that Gemara. This is what the world says. Saveya, when a person is hungry, he says, when a person is full, Saveya, when he's satiated, when he ate a lot, his stomach is full, Ein l'margish rav. He doesn't know the answer. He doesn't understand hunger. Even if he says he doesn't understand until his stomach is empty. Ki kol oid l'hirgish kazayis benavsho. If he hasn't felt this in his own heart, l'yuchal ha'askel leim l'zalos, so he can't truly feel the hunger of another person. U'lezel m'chazal k'edim sh'achal v'shos ha'yesh l'shtei l'vavis sh'namagish tzaras rehu. And this is the meaning of the Gemara in Bava Basra, that before the person has eaten, he has two hearts. He has his heart and he has the heart of the other person. But once he's already eaten, he only has his own heart. He doesn't feel at all, he doesn't know at all, care at all about the pain of another person. It's the Yid HaKadosh. I mean, in this, the union of the suffering of tzaddikim, of the suffering of tzaddikim, of the suffering of the Jewish people who are called Hashem's servant in this world, the suffering of Klal Yisrael. There's a lot here in this mashal. You know, there was a maise, so I don't want to take more than 2 minutes for this, but I'll just remind you, I told this maise around 8 years ago, 9 years ago. There was a maise from Baal Shem Tov. The government, the Tsar, had passed some crazy law to take all the boys away to the army. You know, it was a crazy thing, and it was terrible. And the Baal Shem Tov was, at that time, the Baal Shem Tov was not well, wasn't able himself to go to St. Petersburg. That's before Moscow, right? To go to St. Petersburg. He wasn't able to go himself. So, among the Chaverim, of the Baal Shem Tov students, so each one of the students was afraid. Nobody wanted this job, to go to St. Petersburg to have to handle with the goyim. Nobody wanted the job. So there was a yid there, an alti yid, that he wasn't a Talmud Chacham, but he used to like to sit there when the Baal Shem was with the students. The Baal Shem Tov loved him. He was a Jew of 80 years old. Old Jew, an old man. He could barely move. So he raised his hand and he heard them talking. He says, Rabbi, I want to go. I'll go. So all the Talmudim says, Rabbi Yitzchok, you know, you're not up to it, you're an old man. And they never thought that the Baal Shem Tov would agree. You know, he's not a Talmud Chacham and he's not well. The Baal Shem Tov says, Rabbi Yitzchok, you're just the man I had in mind for the job. So Rabbi Yitzchak didn't speak a word of Russian. So some of the students of Baal Shem Tov spoke Russian, and they thought, each one of them thought, they're going to be elected. This Rabbi Yitzchak spoke Yiddish, didn't speak a word of Russian. So the Baal Shem Tov appointed someone to go, to interpret, to translate. And to watch Rabbi Yitzchak, to hold him, to make sure he eats, and to take him along, but you don't talk, Rabbi Yitzchak's in charge, just you translate for Rabbi Yitzchak. So they go, it's the whole schlep, they get to St. Petersburg, and they come, the Baal Shem Tov said, which government official, very big minister in the government, they have to go to. And you understand, just walking in the street there in St. Petersburg, people are spitting and throwing things, and they see two Yidden like this, and they come to the palace of this guy, and they bang on the door, and they knock on the door, and a butler comes, a servant comes, and says, he sees two Jews, says, what do you want? So Rabbi Yitzchak and the other fellows translating says that I want to meet Minister so-and-so to talk to him about, I was sent by the Baal Shem Tov to talk about a decree. So the guy says, I don't know who you are, what's the Baal Shem Tov, and what are you talking about? And I can tell you right now that my master's not interested in meeting any Jews. So in the meantime, it's interesting, in the meantime, the fellow comes, happens to be walking down, the minister, you know, in his smoking jacket, whatever, he walks down over there and he sees these two, and he says, oh! He says, nice to meet you, come in, please come in. So the butler never saw, he was nice to Jews. like this. He's nice to people. She welcomes them in, and the Yitzchak, and they're very happy, and he's nice. She's the nice, takes them up to a beautiful office, and this Rabbi Yitzchak starts to cry in Yiddish, and the other fellow's translating about the whole thing that the Jews in Russia and the decree, and we can't live like this, and what's going to be. He's crying on the whole thing, and the minister says. The minister says, I'm very, very touched by your story. And he calls in some soldiers, and they grab the two of them, and they take him in handcuffs, and Ripsuk says, I thought you would, and he says, take them out of here, get them out of here. And they take them, they're chained, and they take them to a dungeon, and they tell them that in 24 hours, you're going to be executed. He's upset, he doesn't like being bothered by Jews. So the two of them are crying. What's going on? They bring him there into a room. After that day, they bring him to a room, and there's a fellow soldier. Annette, you know this meister? Yeah.
There's a touch of.
Oh yeah. That's why I saw it. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, you're doing fine. You're old.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. So there's this huge molten pot of hot lead, molten lead, and the soldier is mixing it, and they see Nisgit Gehorn, right? That this is they're planning something, and they have the two of them standing there tied up, and he goes, and the soldier is coming there with a ladle to pour it down their throats, to kill them, and the two of them are screaming out, start to scream Shema Yisrael, Shema to heaven. Screaming Shema Yisrael, and they're coming over the top of the mouths, and all of a sudden they say Maisa, the fellow all of a sudden stops, and they untie them, and he takes very nice care of the soldier. Please, sir, gentlemen, come this way. And they're taking it back to the mansion, and they're going to the Sarah, to the minister, and now they don't know what's going on. They're very afraid of what's happening, and they come to the office there, and the minister is smiling and is very pleasant, and he says, look. He says, look at me, do you recognize me? He says to Rabbi Yitzchak, do you recognize me? So, how am I supposed to recognize you? So he said that when I was a child, I was abandoned, I was an orphan. I was abandoned. I don't know, an orphan, I was an abandoned child. My parents, they left me. And in that village, you took care of me as a child. When I was a little boy, you took care of me. You're the only one in the town that, even though I wasn't Jewish, you took care of me until I was old enough and whatever. You found a place for me to go. You took care of me. And you might remember that as a little boy, I had nothing to do. And I used to go to the Jewish cheder, to the school where the boys were learning. And this guy speaks Yiddish. And I went to the cheder. And I don't remember the learning. But I remember I remember hearing the story of a great rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, and that Rabbi Akiva, when he was being tortured to death, and his students were watching him, and he started to scream out, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and his students said, Rabbi, even now, he said, my whole life, the Gemara, my whole life, I'm waiting for this opportunity to give my life, the greatest schus, the greatest merit for a Jew is to be able to be prepared to give one's life for Hashem. So when I saw you, I recognized you, and I was thinking, what's the greatest gift? The greatest gift that I could give to a Jew. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of gifts like this from the guy, no? Except they never stopped before. What's the greatest gift that I could give a Jew? And I remember that this is what you did for me, that you took care of me, and I wanted to give you the opportunity, with your friend over here, I wanted to repay you the kindness, to give you a chance to say Shema Yisrael, to be prepared to give your life up for the God of Israel. So Mimela, now we understand the Baal Shem Tov why he sent Rabbi Yitzchak, because the Baal Shem Tov knew this whole Indian, that only through this, and of course he cancelled the whole decree, and it was good for the Jews in Russia, at least for the next couple of days, I guess. But it was a good week for the Jews in Russia. So similar Maisa. Okay, let's go quickly through some of these tirades here on Golus and Gula, on exile and redemption, the next pages that you have. Here. Just a couple of tires. Now the one Memvav, Ice Memvav, on top, the right hand side, Shemati, you have that? So this I mentioned when we were talking about the Yid's life. Shemati mipe kodesh, I heard from the holy mouth of Zakeni, my rabbi, I heard from the holy mouth of my grandfather, Harav HaKadosh Reb Yitzchak Meir Migur Dechidush Arim, the Ger Rebbe, Shayehudi Zal Omar, that the Jew said, the Yid HaKadosh said, Sheshameya Kol Shoifa Shal Mashiach, that in the last years of his life, the Yid HaKadosh, the holy Jew, would say that he hears the sound of the shofar of Mashiach. So when you hear that, that's a famous thing, that the Yid said that. So the first time that I read that, so that, you know, it's beautiful, but it bothered me. It's already a long time ago that the Yid was listening to the shofar of Mashiach, Vadayin L'Noshanu, and we still have to hear the reports on the radio that Mashiach hasn't yet arrived, yeah? So what does that mean? That the Yid heard the sound of the shofar. So in Mem Zayin, he brings the Eretz Tzvi, who was the Kozel Gevorov, one of the greatest students of the Avnei Nezer. He brings that he heard an explanation from his Rebbe, from the Avnei Nezer, about what the Yid HaKadosh was listening to. But the Avnei Nezer explained what was the shofar that the Yid heard. Higid Koy Kedushas Maran Bal Avnei Nezer Misochetchov. That the Yid heard Mashiach Shofar. So what's going on? Because it's not like, you see, you know, a rabbi can get up and say, I hear the sound of the shofar of Mashiach. This is not a rabbi. This is the Yid HaKadosh. It's not somebody making a nice speech. We hear this, the footsteps of, you know, this is the real thing. When the Yid HaKadosh said he heard the shofar. And we know that he used to tell people to be quiet. That he heard the shofar of Mashiach, and this was something that he was listening to at the end of his life, Keseder, on a regular basis. It meant mamish. So it's not stam, a nice idea, that he hears the coming of Mashiach. So the Avnei Nezer explained, Ubi Maranzal behakta madisa b'zor kodesh. Now, you know that the Zohar itself brings times of redemption. Kitzim. You know that there have been tzaddikim who have predicted the day when Mashiach is going to come. There are those days, those times that were predicted by some famous tzaddikim, and even the Rambam, who was so violently opposed to it in Mishnah Torah, he in his letter also had a case. Yeah, from Daniel, figuring out the dates based upon what was written in Sefer Daniel, Rav Sadia Gaon, the Zohar Kodesh. There are times of kitzim and dates that unfortunately have passed. And the Zohar Kodesh has three kitzim, there are three dates that are given, three approximate years for the arrival of Mashiach that's found in the Zohar Kodesh. Echad b'shnas tavches, you see I read over there in the English 1649, approximately 1648, 1649. Now those are all significant dates. If you're familiar with what was going on in Poland at that time in history, these are significant dates. And the second day was given was tavresh, approximately 1841. And the third was tavresh samach vav, 1907. Vadayin ben David leba. So Avnei Nezer said, no, the Zohar gave three dates. These are the three dates that are in the Zohar. And Mashiach hasn't arrived. Well, Omar, so Avnei Nezer explained, Shagu'ula tzvich liyaz ba'arba olamos. Now, you have heard of this, although we don't know what it means exactly, that all of creation, as we speak right now, we're in one dimension of existence that's called Asiya. This is the world of action, the physical world. The higher worlds, beginning Atzilus, Bria, and Yitzira, right? Those higher worlds of Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira, until we get to this physical world of creation, of physical existence, those are higher dimensions of reality. So, the Avnei Nezer explained that you shouldn't think that redemption is just in the physical world. You see, there have been redemptions of the Jewish people in this world of Asiya. There have been redemptions that were related to Shabtai Tzvi, who was promising redemption, Shabtai Yimach Shemo. And the Jews who thought that 1948 was going to be also Mashiach. There were redemptions because in 1948 something happened for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Something happened. And other things have happened in history by these dates. But redemption, what the Avnei Nezer was saying is that redemption that takes place only in the physical world for the Jewish people will be followed by other exiles. It's not done. It's not over. Because redemption has to take place on all levels. Atzilus, Briya, Yetzira, until it descends mamish into the physical world. It's not enough. It's the same thing when it comes. The same thing when it comes to a human being. You could have somebody who's physically taken out of slavery, but in the higher realms of his being, he's still a slave, right? So the Emancipation Proclamation did it was a wonderful thing, and slaves were freed in America back in the 19th century. But it's still an avoda to be able to remove that mindset of a slave. It's still an avoda. When the Jews left Mitzrayim, so even though there was a redemption that took place, that the goal is that exile should be completely removed from every level of man's existence, of the universe's existence. Only then will Mashiach bring redemption to the whole world, and this crazy story of history will be finished. But if redemption is only going to take place in the lowest realm, or even in one of the realms, just like you could have the opposite way, you could have that in this world a person has chalila, a terrible, miserable life, but in the higher level of Atzilus, there could be some level of redemption in a spiritual way, but he's not yet freed. Redemption has to take place from Aleph till Saf, from the beginning till the end. It has to extend from the highest point of creation to the lowest point of creation. If you're lifting up a stack of books and you want to lift up the entire stack, you have to lift it from the bottom. And you have to carry the whole stack. You can't just, in the middle, you're going to drop. You have to lift up the whole stack of books. So creation has to be repaired from the bottom to the top. So the Adonai is explaining that redemption has to be Shagulat Shvihalias Ba'arba Elimis in all four worlds. Atzilus Briya are four dimensions of the world. Atzilus Briya Yetzira Asiya. Ubisholus Kitznanal Isagula Bisholus Alumas Atzilus Briya and Yetzira. So the Neza says that the three dates that are given in the Zohar are talking about the three realms, the higher realms of existence of Atzilus Briya and Yetzira, this very, very amazing Torah. That redemption took place already on those three higher levels. Ubasiya Adayin Lahoya Kates. Now we're waiting for the fourth and final level in this physical world. In other words, the main and difficult work has already been done. Redemption, in terms of the deepest and most difficult levels, that's already taken place. But the Geula, redemption to descend into Asiya, into the physical world, so that Adayin Lahoya Hakeitz, the end hasn't arrived. So Vayehudi HaKadosh, the Holy Jew from Shischa. What does it mean that he heard the shofar? All of a sudden he started to scream that he heard the shofar. Shema ha-shofar shel Mashiach b'gimel olamos atzilus b'yetzir. He was listening to the shofar of those higher levels. He heard redemption in the higher world. He was listening to the shofar. V'onu, he says, but us? Ein onu shomim. How come we don't hear the shofar that the Yid heard? He says, machem she'onu b'olam asiyah, because we only live in this physical world. And because we're grounded in the physical world, we don't hear any shofar. Because the shofar of redemption in the physical world, in the Olam HaAsiyah, hasn't yet been blown. But the Yid HaKadosh, who lived in that higher place, the Yid HaKadosh whose life was conducted in the higher worlds, so he really heard the shofar of the Geula of those days, of the end of time. Ad kan dvar v'kdoshim v'divrei pi chacham chayin. That's what the Adonai, how the Adonai explained the Yid HaKadosh hearing the shofar. Look at Mem Ches. This is an interesting Torah that you'll enjoy repeating. You'll see why. Shemati b'shem Rebbe in Lublin. So this tzaddik heard, the Talmud Sadam heard from the Chayze. Shapam achas hoya harebi zatzal mitzapa moed shagula shleima yia ba'is ha'ashana. V'lay also. The Chayza, the Siv Lublin, desperately wanted redemption that year, and he was fighting very hard for redemption, for gula. So, and it didn't work out. Omar laharav HaKadosh HaYehudi. So the Chayza said to his beloved disciple, to the Yid HaKadosh, he said this. He said, Sha'anoshim hapshutim kvar osu tshuva gemura. He said, the simple Jews have already done complete tshuva. The regular Jews, they've already done tshuva. And they already went through enough suffering. And if it was just the simple Jews, Mashiach would already come. Ach ikar ha'ikav, the main thing that's holding back Mashiach, ha'yim ha'anshim ma'ilas, from the choshev yidin, from the big people, from the Talmid HaChachamim, from the wealthy people, the scholars, The simple Yidden already, Mashiach is ready to come for them. It's the Choshev of people that's holding back Mashiach. How could that be? So the Chosen said to the Yidden, Ki kasha lahem lover l'day shiflus, because these people have great difficulty being humble. And in order to accept and receive redemption, we have to be empty and admit that we can't go on existing without God, without Mashiach. But these people are too proud, they're too haughty, and therefore they still feel so filled with themselves that they haven't made room in their hearts for Mashiach. That's what it means. Ki kasha lahem lover l'day shiflus machmas amailas sheyesh bem, because of their mailas. V'yevsha lahem lover l'day tshuva gemura, and therefore they can't truly return to Hashem. They have difficulty. They have difficulty doing tshuva. Pam achas haya harava Yehudi zal v'harava David Milelov. Remember that the Yid HaKadosh and David Milelov were beloved friends and companions. They went around together. So one time, the Yid and the Reb David Lelever went, they were in Lublin, V'hoyim medavrim binyan gula. And the Yid HaKadosh and the Reb David Lelever were talking about the gula redemption. U'b'mamor m'snehedrin, they were discussing the gemara in Sanhedrin, Eina davatoli el v'tshuva. The Yid HaKadosh and the Reb David Lelever were talking about the gemara. The gemara says that it depends upon the Jewish people doing tshuva. In order for there to be redemption, there must be tshuva. So the Rebbe Reb Simcha Bunim, the student of the Yid HaKadosh, he heard this conversation that they were talking about the Gemara, that the only way for Mashiach to come is if the Jewish people are going to do tshuva. So he says, when the Rebbe Bunim heard this, he went, can you imagine? He went to the table where the Yid was sitting with the Dover Lelever. These were his teachers. He went there, and there was a chumash that was sitting on the table. And Rabbunim took the chumash in his hands and he swore with the chumash in his hands, he swore that the Jewish people are not going to do tshuva. They're not going to do tshuva. The entire Jewish people are not going to return to Hashem. He swore. Shkol Zaydi, yeah, very good. By his beard and payas. Right, he held on. Shkol Zaydi held on to his beard and payas. And he said that by my beard and payas, I swear, that's what you're waiting for, you could forget. He said to Hashem, if you're waiting for them to do tshuva for this Gemara, he said, Rebbeinu, you might as well forget it. I swear, as Shpalazedi said, I swear by my beard and payas that he said that the hair on the back of my hand is going to become gray, and the grass is going to be growing on my grave, and they still won't do tshuva. They still won't do tshuva. But the Jews are stubborn. He says that's what you're waiting for. He says, don't bother. So he hear this, so the Rebbe Buna picked up the chumash, and he swore, Shaliyasi shel tshuva, a girl bo yovo, and Mashiach is going to come anyway. This doesn't mean that we could, God forbid, you know, take liberties, of course, but the Rebbe Bunim said, Mashiach is going to come anyway. The yitzhakum aladavim is a, so they didn't argue with him. The Yid and the Abdul Elover stopped the discussion, and they said nothing at all. So we know that in the Gemara Shtika, silence means to agree. So we're hoping that that's what it meant, right? Because doesn't look too good, the situation. Pam achas omer Rabbeinu Isha Yehudi l'thorish divrei HaKosev. Once the Yid HaKadosh explained what it says in the Navi, madu l'boi Yishai ben Yishai gam t'mol gam hayom. Now you remember when Yehonasan warned David HaMelech to be careful that his father's after him, right? So it was a shchoydes suda. So there was a place that was set aside for David, but David was warned by Yehonasan to stay away. The whole of the bow and arrow, we read it on the Macha Chaydish, right? So, the Haftar Macha Chaydish. So, Shaul HaMelech asked that this pasuk, he says, Maduloi bo ben Yishai. He asked Yehonasan, how come ben Yishai, who's ben Yishai, David, how come the son of Yishai hasn't come gam tmol gam hayom, not yesterday, not today? So the Yid HaKadosh explained the meaning of this on a deeper level. Is this the question of every single Jew? The Koyal HaGula, the question is, how come Ben Yishai hasn't come? Where's Mashiach? Who is David Ben Yishai? How come he hasn't come? That's the question that Shaul was asking. Where's Mashiach? V'ovar k'tzir, and so many years have passed and the grass is still growing, meaning that, like it says in Navi, Badayin L'Neshana, we haven't yet been redeemed. Kol HaKitz, Kayitz, Badayin, Lein Hashana, we haven't been redeemed. So the Yid HaKadosh said the answer is the next words of the Pasuk. Right? So the first shaul is, Madu Lo Yibo Ben Yishai? Why hasn't Ben Yishai come? So the Yid HaKadosh says that he answered the question right away. And the answer is, Gam Tmo, Gam Hayoyim. Also yesterday and also today. What does that mean? So he said, Atamal Zeh Gam Tmo, Gam Hayoyim. Da Idenu Bavadoseinu Hayom Kesmo. The reason the Mashiach is not here is because we're the same Jews yesterday and today. Gam Tmo, Gam Hayoyim. It's a murder of word. And that was because, you know why HaMashiach hasn't come? Because we're the same people today as we were yesterday. We don't even want anything. We don't care. We're not interested in Mashiach. We're the same. Our davening is the same yesterday. Gam tmol, gam hayoyim. The way we davened yesterday, that's how we davened today. The way we put on tefillin yesterday, everything. Gam tmol, gam hayoyim. Gam tmol, gam hayoyim. The Rebbe of Shmelki from Nikolsburg, he said on this pasuk also, Madula ben Yishai. So it says in the pasuk there, alalechem. Remember, alalechem means what? For the bread, meaning to the meal, to the Rosh Chodesh meal. The Rosh Chodesh Suda. Which, by the way, the only Suda in the whole Tanakh, right? It's Rosh Chodesh Suda. There's no, we don't see in Tanakh a Shabbos Suda or Yom Tov Suda. Only by Rosh Chodesh a Suda. It's interesting. And Davka, there are people not so careful to make Rosh Chodesh Suda. Everybody should try to make on Rosh Chodesh, just their Chagiv, to make sure to sit down, to make a Maitzi, to wash, to make a Maitzi, to make a Suda. If you can with the family, you should make a Rosh Chodesh Suda, especially the women. They should be careful to make a Rosh Chodesh Suda. So the Rebbe Shmalki answered like this. Madua ben Yisha, Labo ben Yisha, Hakim ben Yisha hasn't come? El Halechem, for the bread. Gam Tmol Gam Hayom. So the Rebbe Shmalki said, you know why Mashiach hasn't come? Because all Jews are interested in his bread. That's all they want. The reason that they think Mashiach is coming is they should have more money. Al Halechem. Gam Tmol Gam Hayom. That's all they want. They think it'll be good. In other words, why do they want Mashiach? Not going to come. Gam Tmol Gam Hayom. Not yesterday, not today. That's what he said. Gevald Gevart also. Al Halechem. If that's the only reason you want Mashiach is because you think you're going to eat better and you're not going to have to go to, you're not going to have to get onto the train and go to work. He says, forget it. That's not how Mashiach's going to come. Mashiach's going to come when Jews want to be closer to Hashem. Let's just do quickly like another one or two more on the next page. Also, Merdeka Gevart. Each one of these, which is so much to talk about. Hakadosh, who say Hayudi Hakadosh? The Holy Jew said, Shama Sha'oid Kaidim Bias Mashiach Sekenu Yetayv Moid Liyisrael. The Yid HaKadosh, you know, they lived in terrible poverty. The Yid HaKadosh said that before Mashiach comes, Jews are going to have money. It's going to be better. It's going to be very good for Jews before Mashiach comes. It's going to be very good. That's a sign that Mashiach is coming soon. And he says the hint of this is in the Pasuk that we say in Esh Yischal and Mishlei, V'atokam ba'ayid Laila, that she will get up while it's still night, V'atitin terev levesa, and she'll give food and clothing to her children. So the Yid HaKadosh says, talking about the Shekhinah, Hashem. Talking by Lila, that by Lila, when it's the darkest of the night before the morning, which is right before Mashiach comes, talking by Lila, when it's still night, the Shekhinah is going to rise up and give food to her children. And it's going to give Jews a better panosa. Certainly, even though there are, unfortunately, there are poor Jews in the world, but the matzav of Klal Yisrael in general can't be compared to the way that our people lived in earlier times. Sheterev begematria toiv pamim toiv. And the word teref equals the word Tov times the word Tov. It's the gematria of Tov of 17 times 17. Shamati mikroi kedusha adonis came around admoz at Salmi Gur. Shoma b'shama Yid HaKadosh. So he heard from the Ger Rebbe in the name of the Yid HaKadosh, she yivi moysa Mashiach, yarutza b'rachoyves v'yitzakul, that on the days of Mashiach, Jews are going to be running in the streets screaming the Pasuk in Hosea. El Chava Shuv El Ishi Harishon, and he's talking about those days right before Mashiach. Jews are going to be running in the street screaming the Pasuk in Hosea, I want to go back to my first husband. I want to return to my husband. I want to return to Hashem. Meaning that the Yid HaKadosh was able to foresee with his Ruach HaKadosh that there's going to be a tremendous awakening of Tshuva. There's going to be a Shtaikikus, a longing for Jews to come back to the Baruch Shalom. If you look in footnote Nun Vav, the Ger Rebbe explained, maybe Tam, ki kishadim they say mi beisel kamashonim, because when a person has traveled away from his house for a number of years, azu mesiach daitem mi beisel, he eventually forgets about his house, he doesn't think about it. It's been away for a long time. Rakshim is karev as manchet sorach lensorach hazor lebeisel, but when the time comes where he's on his way back home, He's on his way back home. Then what? As I call Mashu Karv Yaisu Mishtaikik Yaisu. And the closer he is to his house, then he starts again to be filled with a longing for his house. And a memory for his family, of his family, right? See here, what a beautiful way, that's how he's explained the Yid. So the Yid says that before those last minutes before Mashiach, Jews are going to start to scream that they want to go back to Hashem. Why? Because we're almost home. We're almost in Yerushalayim. We're almost with Mashiach. And therefore, because all the years Jews forgot about it already, because they were so far away. But now when it's going to almost be Mashiach, we thought we're going to be with Mashiach, we're going to be with Hashem, so then there's awakened, and there's awakened, once again, this feeling that of home, of wanting to be in Eretz Yisrael, of having a connection to Eretz Yisrael. That for years and years and years, Eretz Yisrael was mamash abandoned. The Ramban, when he wrote his son the letter, Ramban couldn't find a minion in Yerushalayim. The Ramban couldn't find a minion in Yerushalayim. Can you imagine? Now the non-religious Jews are trying to get away from Yerushalayim because they can't find a place where there's no minion in Yerushalayim, Bilayna, right? They can't stand it. So the Ramban couldn't find a minion in Yerushalayim. So now even Jews are so far from Yiddishkeit, they want to go to, at least to see Yerushalayim, to something. Yerushalayim, they have a shaychus. Why? Because we're on our way home. And it's the home stretch. And because it's the home stretch, so we all of a sudden remember what we remember our home. We remember what it's like to be home. Nun Zayin, Marigalei Bepumei B'Shem Rav HaKadosh Ish HaYehudi Zasal Mipashischa. This is something that the Yid HaKadosh used to always say. Al-Posik B'Kehelis, the Posik at the end of Kehelis. Sov Davar Kol Nishma. So Shlomo said at the end, after everything has been heard, as a Lekim Yirev, as Mitzvahs of Shemar, fear God and keep His mitzvahs. If not for that, Kehelis might not have been included in Tanakh, right? But the end of Kehelis was Lamais at the end of everything, after all the Chachmas and after all the crying. There's only one point to life, and that is what? The point is, be God-fearing and keep His mitzvahs. So the Yid HaKadosh said, this is what it means. Peirush, Seif Dover means, La'osit. Seif Dover means the end of history. The end of this business that's called man's life and all of history. Seif Dover, the end, what's going to be, La'osit. Bizman HaGulah B'Mir Yemenu. When it's going to come time for Mashiach, right before Lo Yiyah Nishma Shum Dibur. Jews are not going to talk about anything else. They're going to start to talk about what? Let's fear God. That's mitzvahs of Shemar. Let's try to keep His mitzvahs again. Soif Dov at the end of time, Hakol Nishma. Hakol Nishma means at that time nothing else will be heard. The only thing Hakol Nishma, all that will be heard, will be Jews saying, forget it, there's no point to anything anymore. Let's just go back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's return to Hashem. Omar Kvei Kedushas Adoni Zekeni, Harav HaKadosh, Yehudi HaKadosh, Mipshischa. Oh, you don't have the page after that? I'll just read. It's just one line after that. He says, Shalosid Yiyah Mashiach, Kol Mishnei Mashiachim Biyachad. This is a pachad, this is a very deep thing, and I'm not going to try to explain it. The Yehudi HaKadosh said that in the future, Mashiach is going to have within him both Mashiachs. It's not going to be two people, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. It's going to be one person, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. This you don't have. Mechetzia v'lumala Mashiach ben Yosef. It means, from the waist up, he'll be Mashiach ben Yosef, or Mechetziv Lumata, and from the waist down, Mashiach ben David. He'll be Mashiach ben David. A great deal has been written in the Svarim to explain what that means. Half will be Mashiach ben Yosef. Rosh Yosef is the Kakod Nizir Achav, right? In the Chumash it says Rosh Yosef. And the feet is David HaMelech. Raglai Melichas, to see David HaMelech used to say, even every day when I leave my house, I'm planning to go to some place. Maybe I shouldn't go, but in the end, my feet take me to the Bais Medrash. My feet take me to the Bais Medrash. That's Mashiach ben David. The Rosh and half the Raglayim, right? Half the Rosh and half the Raglayim. Anyway, we should be Zeichem et Hashem. It's exciting to think about it. Since these days, the last few days, and it will come that we'll be Zeichem to meet this person, to meet the Yid HaKadosh, and. But as a child, when I would hear these stories and I would hear the names, you know, I would always dream about what it must have been like to be by these tzaddikim. And I remember when I was in school, when I was a little boy in school, so everybody laughed at me because my father used to tell me stories, you know, of tzaddikim. And in class, I remember this was in second grade, third grade, something like that. Teacher asked, if you could go back in time, when would you like to go back, right? So, like, so this guy said, you know, to the 1952 World Series, and this guy wants to go back, you know, whatever. You know, everybody had something. So I said, you know, I want to go back to see the Bedishiva, to see the Bedishiva's Tish by the table. I remember everybody was laughing, like, you know, I said, you're an idiot, you know. So, it was a good dream, Lamais. It was a good wish. Halavai, we should be zeichet to see the tzaddikim with our eyes. And to see the tzaddik of all tzaddikim, Mashiach ben Dov, Mashiach ben Yosef, together, apart, was settled for anything, right? Halavai should be, v'sechazani, ne b'shuv ha'sham, v'sin rachmim. We'll continue with these shiurim of chassidus, right after the summer. I hope, I think we'll begin to talk about the Rebbe B'simcha v'vunu p'shis. Shkayach.